Stand at the wall, amen, and guard our country. Take that for granted a lot. I do not, but some people do. And so if you served in the military or going to be serving in the military, we appreciate you so very much. And you know, there was a number of years ago when I think it was shortly after the start of the Iraq War, and we were praying for our military and we were praying for protection. We were also praying for spiritual awakening among our troops and also amongst the people that they were serving. And I just remember hearing nothing hardly about that. You would hear things, you know, from the internet and from emails, that type of thing, which I've learned not to take too much stock in. But then at convention, we always have our conventions right at this time, and it's pretty neat because it happens right around Memorial Day, and we always have some kind of a Memorial Day presentation. And I remember the testimony of our Foursquare chaplains who would tell us at these conventions, and they do this every time we get together. They say, you know, there is a real spiritual awakening that is happening among our troops. And I was just really taken aback by that. I shouldn't have, because we were praying for it, that there is a, you know, there was really a spiritual awakening. And then one of our chaplains got up and told this story. I think I've told you this before, but he said that the Lord spoke to him and told him that if he would go to his commanding officer and say, "The Lord told me that if you would kneel with your troops and confess sin and repent, that God would protect you and there would be no loss of life in this upcoming battle." And he said, when the Lord told me that, it was like, that can't be God. You can't tell, you know, that's, you can imagine the fear that that was in the heart of this man, because, you know, he might be stationed in somewhere on the other side of the world where there is no one to guard. But he said, I just sucked it up and I went and talked to the commanding officer, and he listened to me and he did exactly what I asked him to do, and God did exactly what God said he would do in that battle. That was just amazing to me, that all of these wonderful things that were happening. And then I read a book called A Table in the Presence. It's by a man by the name of Lieutenant Cash. And there was he told a lot of stories in there about battlefield things that God had done. But he also told a story of when they were going into free Baghdad, and they were going through Baghdad, and it was a very, very fierce battle. And then all of a sudden, he told the story of how there were just They were about to pass under a bridge, and they were afraid because they thought they would be ambushed, when all of a sudden there was men who appeared on this bridge, and they were friendlies, and they allowed them to pass through, and they got into Baghdad. And when the next morning, when they started talking about all this, come to find out there was no one there. That this was an appearance, obviously an appearance of angels that God had sent to protect these. And I'll tell you, I've read a number of books about appearances that God, how God appears on the battlefield, and there's some pretty amazing stories. And then after I read some of these things and heard some of these things, I thought, how come I'm not hearing these things anywhere else? You know, we listen to the news, and it's not there, is it? I mean, you know, when they say some things, they tell sometimes good stories and mostly bad stories of what happens there. But I just wondered, you know, I just was thinking in my mind, why aren't we hearing these things? And the Lord just spoke to me in that moment and said, well, who are you listening to? And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Who are you listening to? The truth is that we are people of faith. That's who we are. That's our identity. God has told us, you know, there are many times when you pray, you will pray and never see the answer to your prayer. Remember Jeremiah, who preached for 50 years without a convert. Without one convert. And many of the people in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, many of them prayed for the Messiah, but they never saw him. He never appeared to them. But we are people of faith, and this is what we do. We hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And the way we do this is when we pray, we ask God for something, we believe it. We believe that that is exactly what is going to happen. The Bible tells us if we pray and we ask in the will of God, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have what we asked for. The hitch is we may not get it the way we expect it or exactly the way we asked for it. Because as children, how many of you give your children absolutely everything they ask for, everything they expect? Okay, Mike says he does. Is that true? No, I see some shaking of the heads back there. So God is also a good father, and he gives us what we should have. So we pray and believe, and what did Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas saw the holes and the scars in Jesus' hand, and he said, "Oh, now I believe." Remember what Jesus said? Well, good for you, more or less. Good for you, Thomas. But blessed are those who believe but haven't seen. And that is what faith is. We believe. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen the results. In fact, many times it looks like it's going the other way by all the things that we see. But if you're praying for someone that you don't have right in front of you, you don't know what's going on in that area. If we pray for our troops, we don't know unless we have a reliable source what is going on in the lives of our troops. So which one are you? Are you, do you side up with Thomas? Are you with one of the other disciples? Actually, all the other disciples were the same way, weren't they? Because they didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. But Thomas was the one who spoke up and said, "I'm not going to believe it until I see him." And in other words, Thomas was seeing is believing. But that's not who I want to be. I want to be, and I strive very hard to be a man of faith who I pray for something. When I pray for something or someone, I believe that God is now in motion, that he is working on my behalf. If I pray for people to come to Christ who don't know the truth, who are blinded by some religion or by some other means, I believe that God is working those things out, and he is bringing people to know him as their Savior and Lord. You know, we don't deny the visible things, the things that we see. If I get a cut in my hand, I don't look at my hand and say, "My hand is not cut." That's not faith. That's denial. I can look at my hand and say, "My hand is cut. It kind of hurts, but I'm going to do what is necessary there. If I need stitches, I'll get stitches. Need to put something on it, I'll put something on it. And I'll also pray and ask God to heal me." And God works that out. He works out that process of healing me. We don't deny the visible truth, but we are also not deterred by the negative report. We know the story, or maybe you don't know the story, but there's a story of the Israelites who were freed from bondage, from slavery in Egypt, and they were brought up to the land of Canaan that God said he was going to give to them. So they sent spies in there, and all the spies saw pretty much the same thing. They saw the place was very fertile, had great fruit, great crops, And it also had some strong walled cities and some giants, people who were very, very big in that area. But most of the 10 of the people who came back said, yeah, it's beautiful land, but it's not for us. We understand God promised it to us, but they're too big for us. They're too strong for us. Two of the Joshua and Caleb said, right, it is strong. There are giants in the land, but God is with us. He's promised it to us, and so he's going to give it to us. And the true story goes that all the 10 and all the people who agreed with them did not make it into the Canaan land. They died as God was taking them in circles, more or less, in the desert. Joshua and Caleb got to go in because they were people of faith. They don't deny the visible, but when God has promised, they believe the promise. The promises are not too big for God. We trust God. We are people of faith. And when things happen in your family, when things happen at your work, when things happen to people that you love, and you are praying for them, God hears your prayer. We pray and we trust. We believe. That is our identity. That's who we are as people of faith. Who we are as people of faith are not those, even though we do it sometimes, it's not people who pray for things and then worry. Right? I remember a man who preached this, Harold Metzel. I don't know if he remembers saying this, but he said, I remember him saying, you can't worry and trust at the same time. It's either one or the other. And so as people of faith, we trust. Now, thoughts come into my head. You know, I pray for my children. I have two girls, and I pray for them. And when I, you know, there are times when things come into my mind and, you know, to cause me to worry about that. And I just see that as the enemy sowing seeds of doubt in my mind. And just say, no, I've prayed. God is faithful and God will see this through. They may have to go through some hard times. They may have to learn some things the hard way, but God will see it through. And then 10 minutes later, no, God will see this through. And then 5 minutes later, no, I don't believe that God has forsaken them. God will see them through. In other words, the enemy will not just tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, they're not going to believe me. No, he will persist. He will persist. He will persist. And so we have to believe and believe and believe all the more. Who are we listening to? Who are you going to listen to? We are people of faith. That's who we are. We are very careful who we listen to. Excuse me. There must be a bunch of hairballs up here. Rocky had the same problem. Be sure to get your information from a trustworthy source. Have you ever... the email business is really something else, isn't it? You ever gotten an email about an issue and you thought, oh, I can't believe that. You know, you just go off and then check it out and find out, well, that wasn't true. There's a couple of websites there's one called Truth or Fiction, and there's just a whole mess of them. And even some of them, you can't believe. So I don't know. Maybe it's better not to believe any email if you see it on the internet. No, I don't agree with that. There are many things that are good and trustworthy on the internet and that come to you through emails. But you better check your sources out. I remember reading something on an email about an event that happened in our history of our country. And there's someone that I know that's very, very good at history of our country and world history. And so I talked to him, and he goes, no, that didn't happen. Never happened. There's parts of that are true, but most of the part of that is not true. So I'm just saying, who you listen to. Many sources that you will listen, that you will hear things from, have an agenda. And so they will shape the information that they give to you to support their agenda. And we have to be careful we don't do that too. I've heard people speak, very famous people that I respect, and I've heard them say, or I've read the written, that here's what the Lord says, and here's the scripture verse to support it. And I thought, oh, I don't remember. That sounds a little funny. So I read the scripture verse, and it's, well, that doesn't say that. And so I'm just saying, you know, in the Bible it talks about Bereans. Remember, any of you are Bible scholars and study the Bible. One of the great things about the Bereans is they would listen to someone. This was in, I don't remember where it was, Acts or one of the historical books in the New Testament. And they said they would listen to these things, but then they would check it out to see if these things were so. That's the kind of people we should be. If you hear things from me, if you hear things from Pastor Jim, Pastor Tim, Pastor Chris, the other Pastor Jim, anybody that you hear from, I hope, first of all, I hope you trust us, because we do try to make very sure that what we say is the truth from the Word of God. But we, you know, we're emotional beings, and sometimes you get on a roll and you know, it just kind of bleh, comes out of your mouth. And I've read some of the notes that I took when I was first came out of Bible college, and I used to save all my sermons. I don't do that so much. And I do save them digitally, but don't save them on paper much anymore. And I pulled these out, and I started reading those notes, and I thought, what? I don't believe that. Those are my notes. I wrote them down, and I said them to a church. So I was, oh God, protect that church. I mean, it wasn't like they were going to go off the deep end or get into occultism or anything like that. It was just like, okay, I don't believe that. That's the way it is. So be sure to get your information from a trustworthy source. If it doesn't, many people are biased, and if it doesn't fit their agenda, they kind of work their way around that. You can even find that in some of our school's history books. You can find that in a political agenda. You can find that in the news, where they will say, you know, now this has not been confirmed, but we think there were 150 casualties or whatever. It's not confirmed now, but so why do you say it? And what they don't say is the reason we're saying this is because we want to be the first ones out there so that you will watch us and not the other group. So you just, you know, know that. It can be sometimes almost impossible to get at the truth, except for there is one place that we can go for the truth. Now you think about this, if the leader of a company or leader of a news organization or leader of a publisher, let's say, who is, I'm publishing a history book and I'm an atheist, or I'm very antagonistic against Christianity, how much of the nation's history of Christianity am I going to put in that book? And I will turn it and twist it a little bit and say, well, that person really wasn't a Christian when they really were. They're not trying to build your faith. The Lord is trying to build your faith. We're trying to build your faith, but many people are not. And that's not saying, I am not saying we can't do business with people who are unbelievers. I believe we'd need to. Well, for one thing, You won't do any business with anybody, you know, in some instances, if you, you know, if you go through and check it out. But there are many people who know Christ, who are good Christian businessmen. And I always have this, Sandy and I always have this thing, but are they good at what they do? You know, he's a Christian and he's a carpenter, but he's not a good carpenter. Well, I need a carpenter right now. I need someone who knows what they're doing. So I thank God that that he knows the Lord, but I need a good carpenter. How many of you have seen the movie Noah? It can almost be classified as a comedy, except there was too much tragedy. I know Pastor Jim talked about that last week or a week ago. Sandy and I went to see Noah. There are so many good, really good Christian films out now. And so we thought, ooh, this ought to be good. You know, all the special effects and everything, blah, 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 blah. Well, it was just wild. Because, you know, there was a man named Noah. There was water. There was a boat. There was animals. There was a lot. I didn't know there were that many snakes in the world. But I am telling you, they were just everywhere. And they all came into the ark, which, by the way, was put together by fallen angels who became like Transformers. You ever seen Transformer movies? You know, these big things that walk around. Well, they built the ark. And the place where they built the ark, there was no tree anywhere. And so trying to think of the guy's name, but anyhow, he gave them some magic seed, and in about, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes, we had a forest. Big, real big trees. And so they worked at that and put it together. And then somebody, one of the really bad guys, actually got on the ark before it, before the door was closed. And then the ark, Noah did have 3 sons, but only one of them had a wife in this movie. And then I can't tell you everything. I won't tell you everything about it, but unless you want to go into it, you know, for just to see, don't bother, okay? There's a lot of good movies around, but it had a lot of good special effects. Actually, he did the very first part of it where he talked about creation, how God created the earth. That was actually good. It was accurate. And so it kind of sucked me in, you know, until all the rest of the things. Adam or Noah's sons were, you know, just boys. And one of the guys and when the ark crashed, though, he died. And anyhow, read the Bible. If you want to know about Noah, read the Bible, okay? So you don't have to go to a movie. I remember counseling a young man one time, a number of years ago, and he was talking to me about what God did and what God said and all this, and I'm thinking, wow. I said, well, where do you get all your information about God? He said, well, movies and the internet. I'm thinking, oh, wow. So I had to try to tell him, no, that's not the place. I was trying really hard to be nice, and I was nice. You'd have been proud of me. So if you want to know about what happened, what God did, read the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, there are movies that come out that really do a good job of that, but read the Bible. Don't put stock in rumors. You hear rumors about someone, I think our first response ought to be, nah, don't believe that. There have been things I've heard about people, and my first response was, I don't believe that. I don't necessarily tell a person that I think you're a liar, you know, I have done that, but that's not the way to win friends and influence people necessarily, but That was a pretty extreme situation. But don't put stock in rumors. Go to the source. Remember the I couldn't remember the name of the TV program, but they had this song that said it was a bluegrass type show, and it said, "You won't catch me repeating gossip, so be sure to listen close the first time." Oh yeah. Well, that's not who we are. Amen. That's not who we are. We are the people of God. We are people of faith. And we don't put stock in those things. If you want to know how to raise your children, look at the children of the people you're asking information of. Amen? Now, if you want to know how to, how to repair a car, you ask around. And find those people who have a good reputation, like Bob, and many others here, Denny, and many that we have in our congregation that are excellent at the things that they do, and they're good men of God. But check your sources. And finally, know the truth about you. Know the truth about you. Who are you? I said we are the people of God. I believe that the enemy will even try to convince us that that's not the truth. But all of these things that I believe that the enemy does to discourage us, to pull us down, and just make us depressed. And discouraged and think, oh, what's the point? What's the use? To lose hope. And so we need to condition ourselves. I am not going to listen to that garbage. I'm going to seek the truth. I'm going to put more stock in the truth than I do in the negative things that I hear. Now sometimes God says some pretty negative things to you, doesn't he? I mean, you have sinned and you need to repent. That's kind of negative. But it's the truth when God says it to us. Like the soldier that I talked to you about, the chaplain. The devil is the accuser. We know that the word devil, the name devil, name means accuser. The name Satan means accuser. He accuses us. The Bible says that he accuses the saints before God day and night. He accused Job, didn't he? The story of Job in the Bible. Do you want to know about Job? That's a long book. But the truth is there about Job. And there's a lot of other things in the book of Job that aren't the truth. Do you know that? Is there Job's friends? They said some many things to him that were not true, and that's in the Bible. So you have to be careful. You have to look and see who is saying what. The enemy wants to try every means to discourage you and push you down, to convince you that feelings are the truth. I'm very tempted now to break out in the song, Feelings, but I'm going to resist that. Don't trust your feelings. Amen? Because your feelings will lie to you. Elijah, I don't think there is a greater prophet in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that speaks power and trust and strength more than Elijah. But after he had a great triumph, we find him sitting by himself saying, "I am the only one that is serving God. Poor me." 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 13. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." And the Lord had other things to say to him. Basically, he said, come on, get up. He said, 7,000 others in Israel there are who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. There are a lot of other people. You know, the enemy says those kind of things to you, doesn't he? I mean, the truth is, we are the minority. It's always been that way. There's always been the remnant, you know, the small group of people who love God and who serve God. It's always been that way. But when I hear things like, you know, our country is dying and there's, you know, there's nothing good that is happening and all that, that can't be. Because I'm praying and you're praying for a mighty awakening and a revival in our country. So God is doing something. God is doing something powerful in our land. Amen. He's doing something amazing. And so, you know, I get those bad reports too. And I always say, but we are praying. We are believing. And does any of you know everybody in the country? I mean, those of you, how about those of you on Facebook? Have you... Any of you have, like, how many people are there in the U.S., you know? Any of you have that many friends on Facebook? And if you did, would you want them all? I'm just saying, probably not. But God is our faithful God. And just because we don't know everything that is going on, everything that is happening, does not mean it's not happening. We're trusting. Remember what I said? This is who we are. We are people of faith. We pray and we believe. And there are people who say, well, you're foolish. And to that I say, whatever. I pray and I believe God is faithful. And I'm going with that. Amen. There are a few things in the Bible that the enemy is a liar. But here's the truth about you. Don't go on your feelings. You might think, God doesn't accept me. He won't accept me because I'm too bad. You don't know what I've done. Even I've seen soldiers who have killed people in the battlefield, and they say, God can't forgive me. He forgave David. Have you killed your 10,000s? It said that about David and many more. But God forgave him. And God, in fact, he was actually working for God when he did that. He does accept me. The Bible says, in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. You might feel, okay, I'm alone. There's no one, you know, I just feel alone. Hello? We don't go on our feelings. Be a friend to someone. That's how you get friends. You be a friend. But God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I thank God, too, that I belong to this family of God who doesn't walk away. There's been so many times that I have heard, you know, people say, oh, man, the body of Christ has been so wonderful to me. When I've been down. Yeah. There's one there. Thank God for that. The Bible tells us that, you know, you feel like I'm not adequate. I'm not enough to do what God has called me to do. God's word says I am complete in him. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world. Rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human form. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. It's talking about head over every ruler and authority. He's talking about the spiritual realm there. I can't do what God has called me to do. The Bible says I can do all things through Jesus who gives me the strength. The Bible says that, or we might feel like, I just don't have the power over this sin. It's just bigger than me. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in Romans, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. So the question is, who will you believe? Will you believe the liar? Will we believe that individual that we know is a liar? Satan is a liar. Or will we believe the truth? That's our choice. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for me in just a moment? You might be thinking here today, you know, I want to believe all this stuff, but right now I don't feel like I belong to Jesus. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, then right now you can't say, I belong to Jesus. But we can take care of that right now. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins. The scripture says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. It's the Lord saying that to you if you don't know Christ. I want us to pray together. If you want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, as we pray this prayer, you mean it from the depths of your heart, and Jesus will come in. Let's pray together. Will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for wanting the very best for me. I receive you into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins and make me a child of God. From now on, I intend to live for you. And I thank you that you will help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch this video. This is who you are.
I have been chosen by God and adopted as His child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have the best access to the world of the Lord. Through the Jesus Christ.
Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. So, do you believe it? Yes, because the Word of God says it. Before we're dismissed this morning, last week was our membership time when we brought people into membership, and the first service we neglected to bring in Kevin and Sheila Lemkuhl. So Kevin and Sheila, would you come this morning? And we're going to receive them into membership, into the body of Christ, the Church of the Open Door. Let's come right down here. Oh, let me get a microphone. First of all, please forgive us for neglecting you last time. There were a couple of us were running around waving our arms saying, no. But it's good to get to know you. I guess this is my first introduction to you guys. But we're so happy to have you here. It looks like you have a little child there in the nursery. Two. Okay. Three.
Three total over there.
Awesome. That is awesome. Being a member in the church here is the fact that we are part of the family of God here in the Church of the Open Door, shining the light of God in a dark place, which is this world and many places in our community. And so becoming a member of our church is that you commit to the leadership of this church body. We are not perfect, and we don't own you, but we love you, and we want the very best for you and your family. And we would hope that you would, this means that you would commit to the family of God. We're a family. We're not just a organization, but we are a family, and we hope that we function as a family. And to be open to all that God has in store for you. Is that what you want to do this morning? We want to pray with you. And is there anything you'd like to say? Who's the talker here among? Is it you? Would you like to say anything? Or?
Oh, I don't know.
Not really, but if. Dedicated.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And people came up to us, and that, you know, it was just nice, you know, to, like you said, the family, and to feel that, and we're really looking forward to the future and getting to know more people in the church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we want to pray for you, so church, would you stretch your hand toward these folks? Let's go ahead and stand and do this. Just ask the Lord for His best for Kevin and Sheila. Lord, thank you so much for Kevin and Sheila. We thank you, God, that you have sent them our way. Your word says that you place people in the body as you see fit. And I thank you, Lord, that you've seen fit to bring them here. And we pray, oh God, that they would grow and be strong in their faith, that they would understand everything that you have created for them, everything, Lord, that you have put in store for them. We pray, oh God, that you would strengthen them. Lord, as we preach here and as we worship you, we pray, God, that they would begin to find their place as to what you want them to do and to be here in this church body. We welcome them, and we ask, Lord, for your mighty blessings to be over them spiritually and physically and financially and in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, as we dismiss, would you come and greet these folks? God bless you. Welcome. Yes. Just stay right here and we'll. Yeah, that's what she did. That's what she said.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Oh, you and I did?
I think, wasn't that the ones or not?
I don't remember that. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
I have a good time.
Well, I won't be here second service. I'm going to get ready to head out.